Good morning. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Beautiful. We thank you for your prayers. We went to South America last week, and I have a little map here just to share with you for a minute. Oh, wow. Oh boy, look at that map. That is like a useless map right there. I think I can do something with it. Wait a minute. Avery's figured this out. Okay. Okay. Is that good?
Yeah.
That works? Okay. All right. There you go. Huh? Oh, that's good. Okay. So we have this is a little country, this narrow strip is Chile. So we were in Santiago here, first 3 days. Folks came from Ecuador, Peru, Argentina, to Chile. There were a couple hundred people. We had a beautiful rap with the leaders. They did a traditional dance, you know. Actually, I have some of this on video. I should be showing you, but that's not the message. But then after 3 days, we went here to Buenos Aires to drive up here to Rosario. And there we had 3 more days and with the people from Colombia. Pastor Brent came. Let's see, Ecuador, Peru, and or you know, Chile, yeah. Fellowship, spiritual, loving Jesus. These people love Jesus, and I just loved being with them. You know, Latinos are touching a lot, you know, like hugging and kissing and shaking hands and laughing and talking, and then very serious about the Lord. And Pastor Stan is, and Karen, they're like heroes. Nick Wyman is there on the team, and he's doing great. Jonathan Meekinen is there on the team. And I was very encouraged. I had a lot of joy, the theme was walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We talked about leadership, motivation, caring for people, having vision, love, faith, just like what we fellowship in here in Baltimore. And they're very thankful. They're very thankful for the internet and the classes and Bible psychology book. And it was really a very encouraging time. So thanks for your... We're all a team. We're all doing this together. We're a team. And your life, your walk, your love, your faith has such great value. We are in a world where, to be honest, sometimes in the Christian world, it's church life can be, you know, traditional on one hand, and it can be emotional on another hand, on the other hand, and you just want to say, I want more than just the traditional in and out of church service, and yet I want emotion, and I want good music, and I want friendship, but nothing really can get it right except the Lord filling us with the Spirit and teaching us doctrine. So I feel like we want the doctrine and the filling of the Spirit, right, in a dynamic, personal way. where we love each other, forgive each other, pray for each other, and yet you're also in a way independent. You're on your own. You have to live your life, but I live my life with you. But I'm not with you to the point that I don't have my choices, my life, my heart, my relationship with God personally, of course. So that's what we talked about that, and the Latinos said, you know, that's just what we need, and we need to bring that message to all of Latin America. And I go, like, that's a big vision, and that can happen one by one, little by little, with the quality of love and life that God has given us. Amen. Okay, now the message. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And we have three things that we want to point out in this text. Number one is men. And that'll be a topic. Angels. And then thirdly, the Messiah. One, two, three. So let's read Matthew 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, let's have a moment, Lord, we pray for this text to, and this message to minister to us personally. Bless the continuation of the Lambcon today, the last day, and bless them in your name. Amen. Have you decided what you want for Christmas? Turn to your neighbor and just ask them for a moment. Just say, hey, did you ask your wife or your best friend or your husband for a gift? You know, have you decided? Pastor Barry, have you decided? You have, what, you want a shirt, a pair of boots, gloves? Okay. Okay, here we go. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, the old wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Isn't it amazing how a leader can affect a city? Leader can affect a country. Leader can affect a family. Leader can affect the whole city of Jerusalem was troubled. In assembly, all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So he did get a good answer, Micah 5:2, as the wise men his court, the chief priests and scribes, when they came to tell him. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, and that I too may come and worship him. Well, let's talk about men. Our first point here is men. It's a very simple idea here. I'm going to put down different categories. Simple. One man, another man, another man, another man. This is a very dark man, OK? okay, very dark spiritually. He's evil. He's an evil man. He's like Herod. And not all men are that bad. There are some men that are a little bit bad, and then some are good, and then some are saved. Okay. So evil men. Do you know that there are evil men? Do you know how they think? Do you know the authority they have or power they may have, evil men, to do evil things? To think at night, it says, Proverbs 4, they don't sleep until they can think of destroying or stealing or hurting. Like Hitler was up at night. I think of that proverb. I think it's 4:16. They can't sleep until they devise something in their mind that is evil. There's also Proverbs 6. The seven things that God hates, those that run to evil, plan it, mischief, imagine it, and plan it out. It's amazing how evil the world can be. As you know, in the local news and nationwide about a murder in New York City, and you think of a young man making a plan and what evil is and what evil can do. And we have a powerful leader, his name is Herod, who is an evil man. But not all people are that bad. They can be actually quite good, like this one here. And we don't know about the wise men that came to see the Messiah, but there was enough information. There was enough in the prophecy of Daniel. There was enough, like Micah 5, and there was the star that helped them. And these were men that were drawn. We could say pre-salvation. Maybe you were that way, I don't know. Maybe you were an evil man. But maybe you were quite a good man. And there was something in your heart that was drawing you. Just because you are a good man, it doesn't mean you are saved. That's important. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a worshiper of God, and he said his prayers, but the angel said, send for Peter, he will show you the way of salvation. And so that's our role. Our role is to bring the message, because there are people that are drawn to God. They may go to bed praying to God. We have a story from a man, and this happened in Baltimore, but he was from Madagascar. And James Bryson is walking, and this man was parked to the side, and James Bryson's walking down with some tracks and gave one to him. He said, I was just, thank you. I was just thinking about this. Tell me about it. And he did. And then that man came to Bible school. Remember him? From Madagascar? Remember him? He came to Bible school. He told me this story. We had a fellowship, and then he was here for a couple of years. But I think he violated his visa, and I'm not sure. I told him, be careful. If you go back home to visit your dad, you may not come back because of, you know, what your visa status is and so on. So, but my point is, he was prepared. And these wise men also were drawn. And by the way, an evil man can be drawn, can be convicted, but many times they are not. And I'll share that with you for a minute. It's called self-flatteries. Okay. This is I'll give you the verses here. Psalm 50, verse 21. People think they can get away with things. Another one is Psalm 49. I don't remember the verse. They've named their houses after them. They always think that everything is fine, it's good, they're having a good time. Everything is good. There is their judgment. Don't worry about it. I'm very confident. I have the word flattery. Flattery, and another word for it is confidence. Maybe Herod, I'm sure he had that. And for God to break the confidence of an evil man is a work of grace. For God to bring somebody down and become afraid and fear their future, the judgment of God. Because judgment is real at Revelation 20, verse 15. But evil men don't think about it. They're not thinking about it. They are flattering themselves. They are very confident about themselves and their power, maybe their money, their status. No. That's good for you. Like, I'm good. And that's how they live. And our prayer as believers is that this would change. They'd be troubled. And that's the conviction. This is a very good verse if you're taking notes. The conviction of the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin. And they could be shocked. They could be shocked by it. They could be, like, disturbed. Not sleeping, not troubled, guilty, very convicted, very much in trouble, trembling, worried about it. But remember, Paul told there was Felix, and then there was Festus and Agrippa. And remember, wasn't it Festus, the second one, who said, go your way, I'll call you, like they put him back in jail, and I'll call you when I need you, or when it's a convenient time for me, I can call you. It was a very relaxed thing. He didn't have any regard for Paul. He didn't have regard for what Paul was saying. He wasn't moved by it. He wasn't convicted. And that's what our prayer is, that would happen. Okay? Let's go now to the next part, verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now in the Gospel of Luke, we have this second part is the angels here. And this really catches our attention today. Angels. And the mind of an angel. And experience of an angel. And observation. So you have their mind, emotions of angels. Their obedience, the will of God. And I'll put here observation. Because we know in the Gospel of Luke that when they saw the babe, they were singing. The angels were singing. And I would like you to get into their mind a little bit and understand what they saw. First of all, turn to 1 Peter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1. Verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them that was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Angels, and we'll put here the word observations, they long to look. What does it mean? They are watching. What do they see? What does an angel see usually, like in the course of the whole, their whole way of looking at life? What do they see? They see God. They are in heaven, and they come to the earth. The angels come here, and they have a function. They have a function. That's not my point as much as thinking about, in a way, they are ignorant. Like angels are wise, but they are also like there's an ignorance about them, which is a funny thing to say in a way, because they're like very enlightened, but they're not fully. There's a mystery. They're watching. There's something they don't understand. They're observing something that, to be honest, holy angels are amazed about something about this earth. Holy angels are amazed at how bad this earth is and how God allows it to go on and on and on. They are curious about what is happening. Because God is a holy God, and when he made the world, he made it good. And then man, in his sin, in their perspective, I would imagine they would say judgment would come quickly, judgment would come definitively and finally, and the sin is over. Why? Because it happened to the angels in heaven. When they sinned in heaven, it was over. Like they were cast here. And so man is sinning for thousands and thousands of years. And they see it. They see the death. They see the pain. They see the sin. They see the effect of the sin. And they know God. God is in heaven, and he's doing his work. And they desire to look in. And what are they looking for? They're looking for God. They come to our meetings looking for God because they are holy. They love God. They know God. They are holy like God is holy. And when they come here to our meetings, they're looking for Christ. They're looking for God. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it was like, whoa, okay. But the prophets had said it, but they didn't see it. Remember Isaiah 9, verse 6? Would you turn there with me? Or put it up on the screen? For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Okay, let's stop there. What do you mean angels are ignorant? I mean angels have the scripture, but they don't see. They see But there's limits. Like, they want to observe. They can, just like us, we read the scripture, but I want to see the reality behind the scripture. Unto us a child is born. Do they believe that? Yes. Have they seen it? No. Not until that day when Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then they are like singing. What are they singing about? It's coming. The kingdom is coming. What do you mean? Angels tell. What do you mean? They go, it's coming. Heaven on earth is coming. The angels know this. The angels see this. That this is this the prophets Zechariah, Micah, Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they're suffering. How are those prophets suffering? They're suffering from evil people. Look at this one. They're suffering from wickedness in Israel. There's no kingdom on the earth. These are wicked priests, wicked kings, wicked prophets. How can you say wicked? They were. They were false prophets. We have them today in our country. They're everywhere. They're in the movies. They're on the radio. They're on podcasts. They're everywhere. They're professors. They're everywhere. There is all kinds of people. There's the strategy of the devil to deceive the whole world. Revelation 12:11. There's the work of evil. Herod hasn't died. Yes, he has, but the spirit of Herod continues. It is evil. There's an evil world that is against us. Not just good people, but saved people. And we didn't get saved by being good. We got saved by grace. We got saved, but I'm thankful for good people. That's good. Life is better when there's good people. But there's no kingdom coming unless we are born again. And the angels knew, they recognized that this evil is going to be dealt with by the Messiah. Because who can deal with that evil? Can you and I, the local police and government and so on? No, we need the Messiah. We need the Messiah. The only answer for the world. The angels knew that. Of course they did. And we know it also. And we delight in it. We rejoice in it. It's like a huge step. It's a totally different kingdom. It's not men and the best of men. It's Christ and the salvation of God that has given us a new life and a guarantee about what is coming. Guarantee about it. Okay. Does that make sense to you? Okay, we got angels, they long to look. Let me say close with that. Not close, but finish that point. Do they really, are they curious? Are they really in it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Are people in heaven occupied with this earth? Absolutely. I heard a preacher say they're not at all. They could care less. How can you say that? Look at, what is this about? It's about planet Earth. It's about people on the earth. It's about the devil being overcome. It's about Christ coming to the world. Absolutely. Hebrews 12, verse 1. That we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. They are watching us run a race. We are living by faith. And by the way, your life is short. Your life is short. Like three of my friends died last week. Like, wow, from different places. One in Finland, two in here in the States. And I mean, that's life. It's ending. Life is short, okay? Your life here is relatively short. Redeem the time. Pay attention. Be serious about it. Have a focus. Listen to the Spirit. Walk in faith. Have fellowship in God. Put on the Lord Jesus. Come on. Angels are watching. They're looking into these things, and they are anticipating. If we could anticipate like they do, like that would be amazing. But of course, we look through a glass darkly, and we see very little. But the third point here is the Messiah. This is what the angels saw and what the prophets spoke about. And we have the Messiah, and he has in Isaiah 9:6, we have these names. Let's look at verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. We have four names here. I used to think there were five, but because I thought wonderful was a name, but it's an adjective. Wonderful Counselor. He is the best counselor. The one that we need. I need him to come in and be with me and be my counselor. I need to sit at his feet and listen to him. I need to read the books that he inspired. I need to read the men and the women of God that write and share and inspire. The Bible is such a key to this. I have a little story that I found interesting. There was a World War II soldier on a remote island in the Pacific, an American GI, and he met a, this was in Fiji, I believe. He met in the Pacific, he met a national who could speak English carrying a Bible. The GI soldier pointed to the Bible and said, grinned knowingly, "We educated people don't put much faith in that book anymore," he said. The islander grinned back, "Well, it's a good thing for you that we do," while patting his stomach, "or else you'd be in here by now." It was an island where they had the history of cannibalism. And it's Christianity that has changed the world. It's the Messiah that has changed the world. And the angels are looking at that, and they can see it. And there is a world coming where there'll be no more injustice. There'll be the counsel of God in hearts and minds. And we are tasting it now. God will change your life because he is a wonderful counselor. God will help you in your trouble. By the way, we don't live a trouble-free life. We have a lot of trouble in life. Usually, the average life has all kinds of things that happen in our lives. But we have a wonderful counselor. And that counsel comes from the pulpit, comes from God directly to you in your heart. It comes from reading the word. It comes from our sisters and brothers. It comes from God just giving us the heart and mind as worshipers. Number two, he's called Mighty God. Number three, Everlasting Father. Now, this is interesting because we usually think of Jesus submitted to the Father, right? He is the Everlasting Father, and here he is called Father. And why is that? In the Trinity, he is the Son. But regarding to this earth and time, he is the Father of it all. He is the one that created it. He is. We have our Father, God, in, of course, and we have Christ who is God. And then regarding our lives, we can call him Father. And then lastly there, we have the Prince of Peace. And if there's anything I think you could say about your life is that God gives peace. Wow, do I value the peace that I have. I mean, do you have it? I mean, I have it. I mean, really. There are so many things I could be nervous about. There are so many things that could upset me. There are so many things that I could be worried about. There are so many words that I could say that could disturb me, disturb my family, disturb my friends. There's so much trouble that goes on in this life that comes from us, and a restlessness inside. By the way, on social media, do you have jealousy? Somebody posts, you know, a beautiful sandwich, a beautiful vacation, a beautiful boat, a beautiful car, beautiful children, graduation diplomas, a high education, a total accomplishment. Do you look at all of that and does that bother you? Does that trouble you? The answer down here is no. I agree. But not everybody handles it well. They struggle with it in their hearts. Some beautiful thing, beautiful woman or child or something, and then there's the other side, and then you get upset about it because you're at the other side of it, and it troubles you. And it's like you have to learn to be really walking with Jesus Christ in everything. And him, because the kingdom is coming. Kingdom is here, and the kingdom is coming. Okay, I could go on and on, but that's it. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we benefit by being serious and focused in our faith. We might find ourselves in a minority. The wise men are a minority worshiping, but they found you. They found you. We may be a minority. There are very few that would hear what we said today or care about it. Very few, maybe. But Lord, we have found you and love you. You have found us, given your grace to us. May this Christmas season be a time for people to turn to you and find you and be drawn to you deeply in their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. And anyone listening, you have not yet come to Jesus, come to him today by faith. Just come to Jesus and say, I come to you, Lord, and I trust you. If you do, then you are born of God, born of the Spirit. Walk by faith in him. He is for you, not against you. He loves you. He forgives you. He will guide you. He will counsel you. He is the mighty God. The answer for you. In Jesus' name, amen.